I thought about this message this past week, this took me back years and years to the days when I was about 10 years old. Many of you probably had the same experience in listening to Billy Graham on television. I remember possibly I would be watching something else and turn the channel and there would be Billy Graham, or maybe I would turn the television on and there would be Billy Graham, and I was really captivated by Billy Graham for some reason. There this man was leaning over the pulpit, you know, in his southern accent, telling the people, if you have some sin in your life that needs to be dealt with, you need to deal with it right now. You know what I'm talking about. And Billy Graham didn't mince words with the Lord's Word. He did not water it down or candy coat it. He laid it right out there. Was it convicting? You bet it was. My heart burned with conviction as he was speaking to me. I wondered how this man knew my life as well as he did. But as I watched it and it convicted me, I remember how I thought to myself, all I have to do is turn the channel or turn it off and walk away. But that was even worse yet, because I knew that's not what God wanted me to do. So I struggled with that emotional feeling. Do I sit here and be convicted by God's Word, or do I turn it off and leave and have God constantly putting that guilt on me that I didn't listen to what He was saying? But the blessing that was found for me in those days was, although Billy Graham told me I was a sinner, from God's Word he told me that God loved me and that God sent his Son Jesus to die for me. That gave me hope. God's Word convicting and giving us hope. Sadly, so many churches today are empty because folks do not want to hear the Word of God and feel it convicting them. And what's worse yet, our preachers that stand in the pulpits on Sunday morning, week after week, watering it down or coating it with sugar so that everybody leaves the church feeling good about themselves. When we leave the church feeling good about ourselves, it's not because God tells us we're okay and everything's going to be great. It's because God tells us you're a sinner, but I sent my Son to die for you. If that doesn't bring joy into your heart, that no matter what you do, it's not good enough to sit at the wedding feast in heaven someday, but what God did is, that brings joy to the heart because it releases me from having to work and work for my salvation, which you can't do. When we read God's Word, and especially when we read His laws, we have to do more than just read them. We have to understand them. Because if we just sit and read it and close it up and go away, we're like the man that looks in the mirror and sees himself and walks away and forgets what he saw. But when we start to understand it and dig in and understand what it means to us in our lives, during the week when we get in those situations, we start to think, well, God did this here for these people. I'm in the same boat they're in. Maybe if I do what they did, God will bless me too. And lo and behold, we start to understand God's plan of salvation. We start to understand the Holy Spirit working in our lives. I want to ask you this morning, how can a person be truly joyful after reading God's Word if they don't understand it? If you read God's Word and just take it for what it seems, one could easily conclude that God was a harsh judge just intent on destroying all people. Because the Bible tells us that God judges and condemns and casts away those who are rebellious and turn away from Him. That's His story. But unless you truly understand why and what it is about God that He wants us to know, you're going to just go away thinking that He's no more than a tyrant. But in fact, the Word of God reveals God's grace. It reveals His character. It reveals His love and His purpose for all of humankind. In fact, the Old Testament especially, and its laws and observances for God's people, just does just this very thing. It reveals God's grace. Although the law condemns us, and the law was never meant to save us, God didn't give us His law so that we could live up to it and be perfect, because that's impossible. God gave us His law to say, you're not living up to my standard, so that we might turn from our ways and turn toward God, and He would take us in and we would prosper. Okay? Some of the festivals were given in order to reveal that God could have destroyed the people and should have destroyed them, but He chose not to. Now you start to see where I'm going with this. When we read God's laws, we start to see, or I hope feel in our hearts, I break them every day. God could have and should have destroyed me a long time ago, but He hasn't. Why? So I keep reading. I keep listening to Billy Graham as God's Word comes out and tells us, because He loves us and He has a plan of salvation for all of us. To not only read, but to understand God's Word and His laws brings a certain sense of humility and sadness to us, in that it reveals our sinfulness, but it also brings a sense of awe that God could and does in fact love us. And in this way, we might mourn over our sin somewhat. And the enemy, the devil, is always saying, remember when you did that thing? Remember when you said that thing? Remember when you didn't do this or that? The devil's always telling us that. We can look in here and say, God knew all about that. But remember when He did this thing for us? Remember when He went to the cross for us? That's our salvation. That's our salvation. In Nehemiah's time, the people had gathered on the seventh month. They gathered at the water gate. It was the first day of the seventh month, and they called for the book of the law to be brought out. Ezra and the priest brought the law, and he read it from daybreak till noon. 6 hours he read from the law of God. Then they had the Levites and the priests out amongst the people, because remember, a lot of the people that came back could not speak Hebrew. They spoke Aramaic. So this had to be translated so everybody understood what it was that was being read from the law, and everybody was on the same page. There they were gathered together. They read from the book of the law of God, making it clear, giving the meaning so that the people could understand what was being read. Nehemiah the governor, Ezra the priest and scribe, and the Levites who were instructing the people said to them, "This is a day sacred to the Lord. Don't mourn and weep," because the people had been weeping as they listened to the words of the law. Why were they weeping? It wasn't because the preacher had gone long overtime and in 6 hours they had to stand there and all they wanted to do was get out of there. No. They were weeping because they knew that their forefathers had broken these laws. They knew that they themselves had broken these laws. And they were crying over their sin. Have you ever sat and wept about your sin? Have you ever said, "God, I'm so sorry. I'm sorry, God." God knows your struggle. He knows the day in and day out tribulations we go to. But don't you think it would be really awesome to every once in a while mourn over our sin and say, "I'm sorry"? Here they were mourning, and the leaders were saying, "Don't mourn and weep. This is a day to celebrate." Nehemiah said, "Go and enjoy choice food and sweet drinks, and send some to those who have nothing prepared, because this is a sacred day to the Lord. Don't grieve, for the joy of the Lord is your strength." Now, he wasn't meaning that the Lord is the Lord of joy, and because the Lord is joyful, we're strong. We're strong because the Lord has. No, what he was talking about is the joy of the Lord inside us, that we know, as they knew, that there they were. God could have destroyed them and should have destroyed them, but what did He do? He saved them. Just like He promised. Remember Nehemiah's prayer? "Lord, You said that if we turn back to You, You will take us as Your own people and draw us near to Yourself." That happened. God brought them back from captivity. He saved them. They rebuilt the city, and there they stood. "God, You could have and should have destroyed us. But look where we are now. It's a brand new day. It's the Festival of Trumpets. It's the first day of the civil year. It's a new day. We're a new people, a new nation. Celebrate that God has forgiven us and brought us salvation." That's the strength that we gain in the Lord. That's the joy that we can dance with every day of our lives. That though God could have and should destroy us, He doesn't. Because He wants us close to Him. We are valuable to Him. And He desires to have a relationship with us. The Levites calmed all the people, saying, "Be still, for this is a sacred day. Do not grieve." And then all the people went away to eat and drink and send portions of food. And all of a sudden their attitudes changed. To celebrate with great joy. Why? Because they now understood the words that had been made known to them. Reading them wasn't enough. Once they fully understood the immensity of all this, the enormous plan of salvation of Almighty God for His people, it changed their whole attitude, and they were able to celebrate. The enemy no more was a threat. They were God's chosen people. God told them through Malachi that was prophesying to them during this time, "You are my people, I love you." Paul told the Ephesians, "Be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might." He told the believers to put on the whole armor of God, and he describes the armor of God. And one of the things that he told them to do was to take up the shield of faith, take up the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Take up the sword of the Spirit, arming ourselves against the enemy all around us. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. How are we to use the sword if we don't understand it? This is the manual, how to use the Word of God. We read it, I teach it, hopefully we understand it so that we can rejoice in a gracious God and apply this Word to our lives, because unless we apply this, it's worthless. It's worthless. It's like an ointment. It's like a salve. I like to think of it as that old stuff. What was it? Methylate? How many of you remember methylate? Well, you put that on a cut or a wound, and man, it burned, didn't it? It burned, but I'll tell you something. It really did a good job healing, didn't it? It brought healing. It brought healing. If you don't understand it, please ask. Come to Bible study. Know what you're reading so that you're not swept away by every notion. Many have said over the years, "Well, I don't need anybody to tell me what it says. I can read it for myself. I'm intelligent. God speaks to us differently, so it's up to me to figure out what it says." You know, folks, this kind of thinking never was and is not true. Although the Word of God might apply differently to each of us depending on our life situations, it says the same thing to everyone, and it means the same thing to everyone, that God is a God of salvation to all who received Him, to those who believed in Christ Jesus, His Son. He gave the right, Almighty God gave the right to become His children. And if we are His children, we're celebrating. Celebrating. Paul told the Colossians, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men and according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." I want to ask you, when you're having trouble in your life, where's the first place you turn? What's the first thing you do? Where's the first place you go? Some people get in their car and they go to the bar. Some people have resorted to drugs. Some people go to the local bookstore and find a local bestseller to try and give them those steps to healing. And some of those books work. Some of those are really great. But the first place we should turn is here. But sadly, like that methylate, it's going to burn a little bit first. Because sometimes we find that in our lives, our problems that we're dealing with are our own fault. And when we come to that conclusion, we celebrate and rejoice. God, you could have destroyed me, you should have destroyed me, but you haven't. And I praise you. When we think that God's word means something different to each of us, we err and stray from God's ways like lost sheep, and we follow too much the devices and desires of our own hearts. When this happens, God's word no longer becomes truth, because truth is universal and it means the same to all people everywhere. If it doesn't, if it means something different to this person than that person, if it's true for one person and not for the other, it's no longer truth. Right? And I'm personally thankful for people like Charles Stanley and Alistair Begg and Dr. James Boyce, Elizabeth Elliot, Billy Graham, who stood and taught the laws of God so that I personally might understand and might know the joy of having the Lord who protects me, who loves me, and who makes it clear what He expects of me. These people were a new people. They needed to know what God expected of them. What an awesome God that it's written down. It's written down. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. How many gods have done that for their people? Our God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Almighty Yahweh, has given it to us plain and simple. And this is my personal strength, that though I might sin, I still celebrate a God of salvation and grace who sent His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him, that's me, shall not perish but have everlasting life. Yeah, I read it. And you know who the message comes to, the conviction comes to first, is the preacher. And sometimes it's pretty hard to swallow. And sometimes it's even harder to preach. But you want to know something? It's like the mirth violate. It's good for us. Because it heals. It kills the germs. And brings health back to us. The Bible says God's Word is a light. It shows us our need for cleansing. It tells us that God puts a robe of righteousness on us. And it warns us not to expect to attend the banquet unprepared and improperly clothed. A little story I want to share with you, and then I'm going to close. This is a true story. Years ago, there was a young man in the 10th Presbyterian Church in Philadelphia, a church that was pastored by Dr. James Montgomery Boyce. And this young man came to Dr. Boyce one day and he said, I'm not going to come to church anymore. I just wanted to let you know. And he said, the reason that is because every time I come, you make me feel dirty when you preach about sin. You make me feel really dirty. So Dr. Boyce told him a story about a young fellow that was invited to a banquet, a formal banquet, one day. So he got all dressed up in his apartment, in his suit, his tie, and his good pants. When he left his apartment, it was raining, so he grabbed his umbrella and he started down the street. As he started down the sidewalk, a car went by and splashed mud and water up on him. Well, he first looked at himself and he thought, well, that's not really too bad. I think I can still go to the banquet. So he kept on going. Got a little closer to the street light, he stopped, he looked, he thought, wow, that's a little worse than I thought. Maybe I don't know. Well, maybe I can still go. Maybe it'll be dry by the time I get there. He got to the corner where the street light was and he could really see. He could see and he could understand. And he looked at himself and he thought, I can't go to the banquet. I'm filthy. I can't go dressed like this. So he went back home because he had no more. He did not have the proper clothes to wear. And the young man said to Dr. Boyce, that's exactly how I feel. I don't have the proper clothes to wear. I feel dirty. And Dr. Boyce said to him, no, you don't have the clothes. God does in Jesus Christ. In Jesus Christ, He clothes us in righteousness. You see, God's Word, although it convicts us, and although we may not like it, and although we might feel dirty, we might weep, and we might mourn over it, we have to stop and say, that's not the whole message. Because the other side of the coin is that God sent Jesus Christ to die for us so that we might no longer be dirty, stained, that we might be cleansed, that we are His people, that He chose us, and because we turned back to Him as the people did in Nehemiah's day, God took us in His arms and said, you're mine. And look at what they had been through. There they stood, the walls rebuilt, God's people purified, saved, redeemed. Not a day to mourn and weep. It's a day to celebrate. That although we are sinners, although we have erred and strayed from His ways like lost sheep, the good news is, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's our hope. That's our celebration. Not just on Sunday morning for an hour. Every single day of your life, in every situation you're in, remember, you are God's chosen people in Jesus Christ. I hope you find joy. I hope you find strength in the Word of God and in the laws of God. Let's pray. God our Father,